I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear and beloved listeners. We are here with you with brand new episodes of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have my beloved friend and guest, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's been ages.
Yeah.
It's been almost a year.
Almost a year since we last talked in the studio. About the topic of Muslim Lady.
Exactly.
You know, we have so many things to discuss.
So much to catch up on.
Yeah.
And there is no other reason for this gap aside from
Corona.
Corona happened and so many people's lives got turned upside down.
Yeah.
And my heart goes out to those who've been afflicted by it. And inshallah, may you have a speedy recovery. And so many lives have been lost. And inshallah, may they be at peace in Allah's mercy. Today's topic of Muslim Lady is about
a very common topic which everybody talks about, and you know, it's like a something that all Muslims, like all around the world, especially girls, they hear it a lot from their
exactly.
parents, that you have to be like this, you have to act like that because you're a girl, and you have to be
know, and you have the bigger share of it.
Yeah,
it's sort of like women are supposed to be the flag bearers of this concept.
Mm-hmm.
But however, my humble personal opinion is that what we're going to discuss today, which is modesty, is a universal thing. And it's not gender limited. It's not gender exclusive at all. It applies to every man, every woman. And it's the pivotal like factor in our religion, so mm-hmm. much so that Amir al-Mu'mineen and even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa have said that there's no religion for he who has no haya.
Exactly.
And Rasulullah was known, he was famous for being so modest and so, you know, he had so much haya, and so, to an extent you'd think he was shy.
Yeah.
This topic has been discussed on this show some other times, but we are focusing it on it again, and we're reviving it again because we want to draw the line between actual haya, modesty, and being shy. You know, mm-hmm. there is actually a fine line between it.
And Islamic haya,
exactly,
and the Western perspective on haya,
and also
there are so many things that we want to talk about. You know, it has this topic, I'm sure, has been discussed before, but our approach to the discussion is going to be different because I'm going to tell you that, inshallah, first of all, we're going to define haya. Then we're going to talk about how haya has been introduced or mentioned in the Noble Quran and mm-hmm. also in the Ahadith. Then we're going to compare the term haya with similar titles or terminologies such as ifaf, hijab, taqwa, or piety. So we're going to compare them, see what is the differences, what are the similarities between them. Then we're going to talk about ifaf, and we're going to specifically focus on ifaf because by ifaf I mean chastity, and because there's a very close relationship between the two. And then after that, we're going to talk about, is haya inborn or do you acquire it?
Mm-hmm.
Does somebody has to teach it to you? Okay, now let's say that somebody has this haya. Now, what should happen that this haya would diminish, would vanish from a person's personality? Then the next topic would be practical instances of haya. Is it only restricted to one's outer appearance or protection, or is it something, you know, that is like
it's
much...
It's a characteristic thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's a personality, a trait.
Exactly. What exactly does it cover? And then we're going to talk about the fact that is it a feminine virtue or is it a general virtue?
Exactly.
And
so we've got a lot to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Without further ado, let's begin with the definition of haya and mm-hmm. how is it different, or is it at all different from the public understanding of the term and what it is depicted in religion and in the West.
Okay. So we can look at the term haya from, you know, when you look at it in the dictionary of any dictionary, and then we can look at it in the Islamic teachings, you know, how the Quran
and
how
the dictionary.
Yeah, the Islamic dictionary, exactly. Especially as it's referred in ethics, in the realm of ethics. So if you want to look at, you know, the general dictionary, they refer to modesty or haya as a feeling of being ashamed or being embarrassed of doing something wrong, something that is bad. It's a general feeling.
Yeah.
But when you look at this terminology in the teachings of Quran and Hadith and in the realm of akhlaq, you see that haya is a kind of self-control.
Aha, self-restraint, right?
Exactly, self-restraint. Okay. That has its root in a fear of embarrassment. You restrain yourself because you're embarrassed that others would see you. A kind of embarrassment because an observer, a respected observer, is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who is this respected observer we're going to talk about? The point is that usually there are a lot of self-restraints, okay? But I can tell you to stop doing something by fining you, by, you know, threatening you.
All right. Don't go out without a mask or you'll get fined.
Exactly. Or by giving you the glad tidings that I will give you this and that to, you know, to arouse your sense of greed or your sense of power. But in the realm of haya or modesty, none of these
are relevant
with regards to the concept of self-restraint. You restrain yourself, you control yourself because of this feeling of being ashamed. Why would you be ashamed?
Exactly. Why would I be ashamed?
Why would you be ashamed? It's because of the feeling of لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ.
Aha.
Verily, we have honored Bani Adam,
the children of Adam.
Right. So the more self-esteem you have, the more your haya.
Aha. So it's like a self-induced internal notion that boils from within you.
Yeah. That because I'm a precious individual, I wouldn't lower my dignity. I wouldn't lower
my value
because of doing certain acts that I'm not supposed to do.
So it comes back to a sense of self-worth.
Exactly.
Dignity.
Exactly.
I respect myself so much that I wouldn't do something that's below me.
Exactly.
Okay.
So this is the essential meaning of haya. So it's something inside in your soul, in your feelings. And then when this wants to be implemented in one's actions, it comes in the form of ifaf.
My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong. Sometimes it just gets too much. I feel that I've lost touch. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
When you're talking about feelings,
It's
haya.
When it's manifestation.
It's manifested in the form of afaf, in the form of chastity. So, shall we talk about this terminology in the Quran?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Which reminds me of a verse that now makes more sense.
Tell me about it.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي, to give you, like, He does not shy away from giving you an example about a mosquito.
Very good.
And the disbelievers would think, why would God talk about mosquitoes? But the believers take it as a sign, you know? Basically, Allah is saying that the example I'm going to give you is so intellectual that it's not going to degrade me in any way. It's not going to make my high position as God of the universe any less.
Exactly.
And now it makes so much more sense.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, this was the first verse that I wanted to mention. Thank you very much. You made my work easier. It's in chapter Baqarah, verse number 26.
Right.
The second verse is in chapter 33, verse number 53, mm-hmm. that says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. It's about people going to the Prophet's house, uh-huh. the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu right. alayhi wa sallam's house. Have you heard this verse? That exactly the term haya has been mentioned in it. That people, whenever they like to be invited to the Prophet's house, and they would say, okay, you know, we're going to go so much sooner so that we could spend more time with the Holy Prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are invited to the Prophet's house, go at the time, you know, don't go out so early that you would wait like 2, 3, 4 hours for the meal to be ready. And then you eat the meal and then you sit a little longer to chit-chat with the Prophet. And, you know, so it says, go exactly at the time when the meal is ready. And once you have the meal, you know, a little when according to the urf or according to the customs or the accepted traditions of people, leave. Mm. Because the noble prophet is too shy to, you know, tell you to leave his house.
Right.
As you said, the epitome, mm-hmm. the peak of this virtue is seen in the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So,
that is so sweet.
Yeah.
He's just so noble. His character is so gentle that he wouldn't even allow himself. He found it beneath him to ask his guests to leave because it's too late.
This is not something that you see in the West, right?
Exactly.
They actually ask you, or you tell your guest, come at 6 o'clock. Mm. And then if you stay there like for 2 hours, they leave you. Mm. They go to their work. Goodbye. I have work to do.
Yeah.
They actually ask you to leave. So in the etiquettes, in the social etiquettes, interpersonal relationships in Islam with regards to the relationship between the host and the guest, Islam has certain principles.
Mm. Etiquettes.
Etiquettes that wants the Muslims to observe. It's not a religion that has been muted or that has been silenced or that remains quiet with regards to this realm. So this is something that I find very interesting and so rich in the Islamic culture, in the
Absolutely.
Islamic heritage. The third one is that Allah is not ashamed to tell you the truth.
Mm.
This is in continuation of the previous verse about the Prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if the noble prophet is ashamed, I am not ashamed to tell you, you know, a certain etiquette that, you know, the host has a specific responsibility. The guest has a specific responsibility. It's beautiful in Islam when they want to lay out a rule. They say that, for example, a woman's responsibility is not to work inside the house. And then they tell the man that keep in mind, note that your wife's responsibility, you know, she's not at all religiously obligated to do the work inside the house. But at the same time, they say to the woman that if you give one glass of water to your husband out of love and out of kindness, you will have the thawab or the reward of such and such and such and things. So you see, it's a how the laws are laid out to the two sides of to the two parties involved in an action. You know, each has his or her own distinct responsibility,
yes.
right? So as a host, because these people are guests of Rasulullah and in the status or in the position of a host, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he feels ashamed to tell his guests to leave. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the legislator, as the supreme power, he says, I am not ashamed of telling you the truth.
Mm.
You see, haya is, as we're going to talk later on, in certain areas of life, haya is something desired. In certain other aspects or areas of life, haya is not desired. And one of the realms where haya is not desired is in telling the truth.
There's actually a hadith that says there is no haya in deen. And one would think, oh my God, but that's all religion tells us to do. And I think this is what they meant, you know, that religion doesn't shy away from telling you the truth, pointing out your flaws, telling you how to better yourself, telling it as it is, raw, hardcore. And that reminds me of something. It's a really, one would even say that it's a primitive sort of like lowly example, but you have something stuck in your teeth, a total stranger or like your colleague or someone wouldn't tell you that, okay, you have something in your teeth, because they kind of like they feel awkward about it, right? They'll just steer their eyes away and not look at you directly. But this moment your sister sees you, she's like, you dork, you have something stuck in your teeth.
I know, especially if it's vegetables.
Exactly, right? Your sister doesn't shy away from telling you the truth as it is because she knows you won't love her less.
Exactly.
It won't make you feel like, oh my God, how dare she, right?
I know. As they say, a moment is the mirror of another moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess that's how it is. Allah tells us as it is so that we can better ourselves, we can cleanse ourselves, we can grow.
Okay, so let me just mention the last verse in the Noble Quran. It's in chapter 28, verse number 25, that it is referred to with regards to a lady who walks bashfully. We're going to talk more about this in the next episode.
Inshallah, what a cliffhanger. Until another episode of Muslim Lady, we leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.